Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. This season's theme, as you know, is soft, not sloppy, and we are encouraging you to do the job that needs to get done. But for heaven's sake, give yourself a break and a whole lot of grace. Today's episode, this season, is brought to you by Dry Farm Wines, and you can visit them at dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. If you've never ordered, this is your chance. The sun is out. I mean, goodness, grab some rosé. That's the first time you've ordered. You're going to get an extra bottle for a penny. You got to check them out. You've heard us talk about them for 5 years now. dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. Shay and I are very pleased to share with you a brand new guest to the show. I'm just thrilled to announce that Beth Lemanek is here. She is the author of Entertaining 101, 101 Recipes Every Host Should Know How to Make, that is coming out right about now. And we're thrilled to have her. You can find her on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest. She is living in the charming Vendée region of France, so she's coming to you from France today. And she is going to give us expert tips for making effortless entertaining, which I think we need. And I think that falls right under this soft category because I'm entertaining tonight. And I got to tell you, my heart's kind of pounding in my chest. And we need to just lighten up on ourselves a little bit. And I think Beth is going to help us with that today. So welcome from France.
Yes. Welcome, Beth.
Welcome.
Nice. Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
We're very happy.
Yes. And my heart goes out to you because you should not be stressed. The thing is that we need human connection. We need to have people into our homes, but we get so stressed about the thought of doing it that we don't do it. And then we feel lonely and isolated. And then we really want to have these great dinner parties, but we think a great dinner party needs to be 10 plus people with everything homemade from scratch and all the perfect flower arrangements and table settings, or we don't want to do it. And I think, you know, that's Instagram and Pinterest that is just done that to us. And for better or for worse, I contribute to that. But I'm here to say you do not need to start there. I think a setting for four really good friends that you know well, you don't have to impress, is a great place to begin.
We had this really great Mediterranean themed potluck yesterday to celebrate our end of school year. So with our homeschool co-op, all the moms brought a dish, and my friend Amber was stressed out of her mind. Two birthdays, you know, five kids, end of school year, you can imagine, right? So she brings this long, skinny white platter and store-bought olives, sun-dried tomatoes, hummus, pepperoncinis. She just spreads the hummus on the platter and sprinkles all this zhuzh on top, as Angela would say, just chopped parsley, chopped olives, chopped tomatoes. It looked spectacular. And I just thought, this is it. This is what I need to do.
Exactly. That's all you have to do. I mean, that's the thing. I think also, like, you have to think of everything you're going to make for a dinner party as like a portfolio. It needs to be like a balanced portfolio. So you're not going to make everything that's like active cooking. You have guests in your kitchen and you're like stirring the pasta and sauteing the beans and all, like, that's just too much. I just think you have to have a certain amount of things that are store-bought, certain amount of things that you've made ahead, and maybe one or two assembly items. But like the act of cooking when you have a house full of guests, you're just asking for it.
It's just I do that. I keep a few store-bought things. If I make a great dessert, then I'll double it and put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
It's done. Or just a cake base. I love like a really standard like French yogurt cake, and I'll just keep one of those. Oh, yeah. For some time as this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, especially as we're getting into the warmer months, like Mother Nature does all the work for you. So all the flavor is already there. And all you have to do is buy it when it's ripe or when it's in season. And as you say, have a yogurt cake or a pound cake, serve it with some fresh berries and whipped cream. And people are like so excited. Like it doesn't need to be, you know, a triple layer cake that, you know, looks like competition, like worthy.
Why? Yeah. Where did that come from? Why do we want to do that to ourselves?
I think because it's a form of like extreme people pleasing. Women fall into this trap more than men, you know, like I think we want everything to be like perfect, perfect, perfect. And we want people to like us and they're not going to like us if it's not perfect, perfect, perfect. But actually, like I can remember, and this is like a true story, my mom saying to me when I started doing this and I was hosting all these parties and I had this YouTube channel and I was really spending a lot of time like with food and thinking about this stuff. And because it's my personal passion, like I'm at fault just like anybody else's. I would go the 11th mile. And I remember my mom saying to me one day, no one's ever going to invite you to their house if you keep doing this.
Right.
That's and so I think, true. I know. And I think that's so
can we just stay there for a second?
That let's just keep it that so for a minute. True.
Yeah.
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 It's
and she was right. Really we didn't get a lot of invitations.
Or when they do, it's really awkward because there's like apologies.
Yeah.
Hey, this isn't such and such and such like you did, I hate that. It makes me so uncomfortable because it really is like, you know, for sure, I think the three of us have this in common. It is a love language. It is a passion to create like a beautiful presentation and do something well. But sometimes it's a little too well and it sort of sabotages.
Future. Yeah, no, you know. I think it does. And I'm also very conscious of my kids because I have two teenage daughters and one of which is in college and likes to have her little dinner parties now, which is like super cute. But I have said to them, like in the throes of like a huge Thanksgiving or a huge dinner party, like looked at both of them and said, you do not need to do this. Like, this is my thing. But like when you grow up and do your thing, it doesn't need to look like this in order to be good. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I think I hear that a lot too. Like, oh, I grew up with a mom and she entertained all the time and put all this energy into it. And I just have thought so many times, like, yeah, this does take a lot of work when you're doing it at a level of like 30 people for Thanksgiving and everybody's sitting down with the table settings or whatever. But I do that because I love that. But not everybody loves that. And yet again, you can start there.
Yeah.
That took me 10 years to get there. Like I didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to host Thanksgiving for 30 people. Like that's definitely something you do if you love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have homemakers who listen to this podcast from all over the world, from all different kind of stages of homemaking. So I think we sort of all have an idea of what extreme hostess display looks like because of Pinterest and Instagram and Martha Stewart. But there's not necessarily that same counterpart for when you're just starting. I think I've told this story in the podcast before, but I remember when my husband and I got married, it was one of our first times having a big group of friends over and I made like a giant, what I thought was a giant pot of taco soup. And I realized like when half the people had gone through the line, I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? So there's like this whole process, right? Of when you're just starting, yeah. I'm interested in having people to my home. Maybe I didn't grow up with a parent who did that. So take us back to kind of the beginning to a homemaker who is sort of just trying to find her footing. Where does she start?
I say, start with brunch, embrace brunch, because brunch, there's no fancy cuts of meat. There's no expensive liquor you need to serve. There's not a lot of timing that needs to be done because you can serve everything at once on a buffet. Eggs, bread, fruit, that's all really inexpensive. And a lot of it can be made ahead. So like in the cookbook, there's a make ahead puffy egg bake. Love a good egg bake. Like you just whip it all up the night before. And then all you have to do is pop it in the oven. You can make muffins or you can do store-bought muffins. You can do granola the day before and set it out with a bowl of berries and a tub of yogurt that you decant and put it in a bowl. And everybody has a great time because people love brunch. Like brunch just makes people happy. You can serve, you know, if you want, you can do like Prosecco with some juice, but it's just, it's really an easy meal to tackle for beginners. I love brunch. And that's where I started. I had a lot of brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
But you're in France and you're serving Prosecco? Beth, what is this?
Well, no, this was me 30 years ago in LA. No, here we would serve Kimmel.
Yeah, in the south,
right? Yeah, they're just sort of getting the idea of brunch. It's kind of funny what they think of brunch. So, you know, we did a New Year's brunch here, which was kind of fun just to show them, like, here's how we do it. They just, they don't like the whole sweet and savory combo. It's either sweet or savory. So, yeah, that's kind of hard sometimes. Like Thanksgiving, that got everybody kind of, they were very confused by that.
I love this idea of brunch. I think that's actually a really wise, I think that's really wise advice, because you're right. That's a completely different category than a family supper party. And people typically know what they want to eat at brunch. They know what they like.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to reinvent brunch. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have some crazy gourmet thing, because everybody sort of expects an egg dish, some fruit, maybe some yogurt, granola. Like, a DIY granola bar is, like, granola parfait bar is such an easy thing to do. You even can do it all store-bought. So you get your gourmet granola, you get your vanilla yogurt, you get the berries.
Yeah.
And you set it all out with, like, bowls and spoons, and then people kind of serve themselves. And, like, that's just a really fun room temperature thing that you can set on a buffet, set it and forget it, and let people serve themselves. Mm. You know, that's good. I also think when you're just starting out, like, you need a buddy. You need, like, who's going to be the person you can get to say, I need help with this. And it's usually not the co-host. Like, I wouldn't do it with your husband, girlfriend, boyfriend, significant other. It's like a good friend, because that person's already busy as well, like mixing drinks or entertaining the guests. It has to be all those people that come in your kitchen. They're like, what can I do? What can I do? Assign the person ahead of time and be like, can you be my person, so that when you need extra help, like when the egg bake's ready to come out, but you want to clear the muffin plate, you just need someone to go to, identify that person ahead of time. I think that also helps for a beginner.
That's good.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Ange.
No, brunch just totally, it does work with all those things you said. Like, you could do something homemade.
You've got
killer muffin recipe from your grandma, you can do that. Then you can buy store-bought cut fruit or whatever, you know.
Right. And I also think brunch also works like a traditional meal, in that you can have drinks and hors d'oeuvres. So, like, you can have a little coffee bar set up. Like, I actually went to Smart and Final in my early brunch days and bought, like, two of those, you know, thermos coffee pumps that you see, because it allows you to just fill the thing up before people come, set out mugs, set out a little thing, half and half in sugar. And if you want to get fancy, you can get, like, some gourmet sugars, like those little, you know, like sugar in the raw type stuff. Right. People are drinking coffee. They're making themselves bellinis or mimosas. And then you have a muffin or a little sweet roll or something. And then that's sort of stalls for time, because that can all be set out as people come in, as you're, like, putting your egg bake in the oven and getting your fruit ready or whatever. So I do think you can think of brunch as, like, a kind of two-act affair too, which I think sometimes can lessen the stress that not everything has to be, like, on the table as soon as people walk in. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to talk about what the motivating factor was for this book. I think you've already hinted at it. But before we get there, I want to say thank you to Homemaker Chic sponsor Branch Basics. Because listen, if you're going to be inviting people over to your house, it does need to be somewhat tidy. Okay? There are times where it's going to be tidier, but if you're going to clean it, you should at least make sure there's nothing in the toilet. Make sure the sink is clean, okay? These are just some basic things we can do. And you can clean your house with Branch Basics. And if you use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC, you'll get 15% off of your starter kit. Now, if you're inviting people to your home, I think this is actually great, because Branch Basics cleaners are non-toxic, hypoallergenic, free of fragrances, free of hormone disruptors, preservatives. It's baby safe. It's pet safe. So if you're inviting people in and you're not sure of these things, you've covered your bases here, because this is going to be a cleaner that people aren't going to have any kind of allergic response to. It's not going to cause any headaches from all the fake fragrances and ammonias. So with your starter kit, you're going to get a bottle of the cleaner concentrate, and then all the bottles that you dilute it down to with water. So you're going to have a bottle for glass, a bottle for your kitchen, a bottle for all purpose, laundry detergent, even for cleaning up your tablecloths and napkins after your wonderful party that you have. And you can visit branchbasics.com and use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC to get 15% off your starter kit. And so you can have a tidy house when you invite people into it, when you decide to play hostess, which is great.
I love that. And it won't smell like cleaning products.
You don't want it to smell like cleaning products and eggs.
And ammonia, right? I would like to say thank you to American Blossom Linens. You can find them, of course, at AmericanBlossomLinens.com. And I want you to remember this code, SOFT20, because they're going to treat you to 20% off. What you're going to get is heirloom quality linens that are American made, from the cotton grown right here in the United States to the beautiful box, the beautiful box. Okay, this is a treat when you get this box that ends up on your door. You can stock your linen closet with towels and blankets and baby blankets and duvets. And of course, the sheets that started it all that are heirloom quality and get softer with every single washing. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com and don't forget the code SOFT20.
Okay, you wrote a book, which is like birthing a baby.
Right? It was harder.
Okay, why? Right? Because books have been written about entertaining before.
Yeah.
But what was the piece that you felt like really needed to be said?
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I was like, I guess like everybody, overwhelmed by how much food content is out there. And I think because there's so much choice out there, it gives people anxiety. Like, where do I start? Like, there's so much, like I have to impress, blah, blah, blah. And I was at a friend's house and they served some shrimp cocktail and it was not very good. It was like boiled shrimp and like jarred sauce. And it's like one of the easiest things to make. And I just kept thinking, like, there are these recipes that everybody should just know how to make. Like, these are the basics. Just start here, because everybody loves shrimp cocktail. Like, that's what you want at Christmas time. Everybody loves a rack of lamb. Like, that's what you want at Easter, key lime pie. Like, there are just certain classic recipes that we crave throughout the year. And I just wanted to bring it all home for somebody in one book that said, here are the 101 recipes that you should know how to make. Start here. And then once you get your sea legs, then they could move on, you know, to more complicated things. But I think throughout different times of the year, we crave the classics because we know they're going to be good and we just need to know how to make them. Mm-hmm. So they're all there.
And Shay, like, did you ask your family one year if you could do an Italian Thanksgiving? And they were like, oh, heck no.
They were totally rejected me. I tried to do a Greek one year. I was like, please, I don't want to make scalloped potatoes. But Beth, don't you think too, there's something, if I'm trying to do a project and I just go to Google and I say, I want to make shrimp cocktail, and that's one of the 8 things I want to make, I'm going to see so much content that my head is going to explode. And then I get overwhelmed and then I feel bad about myself. And then I think it's way more stressful than it's going to be. That is so different than bringing out a book. Mm-hmm. And opening up and quietly spending some time with Beth. Those are totally different experiences.
I think it is. I mean, but I do think, and because you guys are in the content game too, like, I think with the rise of AI and all the choice out there and Google and YouTube, like, there's just so much coming at everybody all the time that I do think the thing that, like, the differentiating factor is this sort of personality-based content. So I think that has been the blessing of being on YouTube for 13 years and having a blog and like building a brand, is that people have grown up with me. Like, there are young girls who started at 18, like watching the beauty gurus on YouTube, and they stayed there and they just bought their first house and got married and had kids, and they didn't suddenly leave YouTube. They were still there and they needed this information for this stage of life. Mm-hmm. And I think by that time they trusted me. So I think cookbooks are great because you're kind of buying into the personality, because if you want shrimp cocktail 55 different ways and you want to compare and contrast, then the web is great for that. But if you want to curl up with something, with somebody's voice that you've come to know, like, a book is great for that, because you feel like you're really visiting a friend in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I think books are great. That's actually why I went through it, because I knew it was going to be a ton of work on top of everything else that I'm doing, because, you know, like all of us, I'm producing for all the platforms every week. I had to make room for it, but I kept thinking, like, this is going to help somebody. Like, I just I really want my style of entertaining to be out there in the world with these 101 recipes that I think are just a great start for whoever's like just beginning this process.
Okay. Yeah. I would love to hear a few more. I love the brunch idea. I love, you mentioned shrimp cocktail and rack of lamb, key lime pie. What do you think are a couple other go-tos, especially as we're going into summer?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everybody needs a good green goddess dressing. Like, that is a classic, because there are times when it's so hot and you're entertaining and you have everybody over for dinner and you're like, what can I serve people? Especially because I lived in LA for so many years, like people would be a hot, sweaty mess by the time they got to your house. That I would love to serve these smoothie, strawberry margarita smoothies, which is great because it's like a strawberry margarita, but it's like a smoothie. So it's really refreshing. And the Green Goddess dip with a really pretty crudité platter. So again, you know, we love our Pinterest, we love our Instagram, and we've seen so many like over the top crudité platters, which can cause, right? I mean, they're amazing and they're beautiful, but like, again, we don't need to start there, but I've given tips for like how to arrange it in a way that's not so overwhelming. Like you really can use any vegetable you want, but just think of the rainbow. So start with your red vegetables. Okay, get some peppers, get some radish, then go orange, then go, you know, green, then go like the purple cabbage or purple broccoli or, you know, or cauliflower. And you just kind of go around and you'll see like how beautiful that ends up being. If you just, you know, stay away from like the carrot sticks and the celery sticks, like you might get like at the grocery store, you can do things that are a little bit more interesting. And again, Mother Nature is just doing all that work for you. You just have to put it on a plate. Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I think blueberry pie is another classic. Like I think around 4th of July, we all want to know how to make a great blueberry pie. And I have that recipe. It's one of my favorite ones in the book. Ribs, barbecue chicken. Again, just like the classics and a corn salad. So one of the things that I really love about the book in the back is there's menus. So I've actually like taken the recipes in the book, put them in menus. So there's the summer dinner party and the summer barbecue and Mother's Day and Thanksgiving and Christmas. So that like you don't want to think through all the organization. I've already done that. So you can plan your meal and I tell you what to do 2 days ahead of time, a day ahead of time, an hour before people come with these recipes that are balanced. So some are make ahead, some are 2 days ahead, so that you're not doing everything an hour before people come, because that's a surefire way to never do it again.
Right.
And that's a tricky point for people. I run an online cooking school, and one of the questions I get the most is, how do I know what goes together?
Mm. Right.
We all know that's a perfectly balanced meal when we taste it. There's a reason we typically will serve like a nice vinegary coleslaw with our, you know, pulled pork. Right, exactly. Like, mm-hmm. Why do we know that works? But it's... it becomes instinctual when you do it for a time, but somebody has to say to you, hey, did you know that like vinegary foods cut fat? And here's why. So you serve a really fatty something, you need to counter it with something like this. Yeah. So I think Definitely. Putting those together is really smart, because that is, especially if you're just stepping off the starting line, you're not sure what to do. You just think this sounds good.
And that's a whole other level of like expertise that you learn as you go. And also knowing what's in season. So like, I love to serve panzanella salad in the summer. Beautiful tomatoes. Like it's a very simple salad, but like you don't want to do that in March or April, because like tomatoes are not at their peak. Like that whole salad is about really great fresh tomatoes. And if you can use and afford the heirloom ones, it's even better. But like, that's something that's really great in July or even August, because that's when you're going to get things at the peak. So I think, you know, having a little bit of that pre-planned out in the book is great. People can do it for themselves. I mean, that's where I hope everybody gets to eventually.
Yeah. Someone gave me a tip one time about entertaining, about when you're just sort of setting out your spread. You know, when you entertain sometimes and you do put a lot of labor into the food. I love to cook, so like I'm happy to do that piece of things. But then you put it all out and you're like, man, it felt like more in my head.
Right? I know, right?
All that for that?
Oh, yeah. Wait a second. So yeah. Someone gave me the great advice one time, like what you're saying, take the season and let's say it's winter time. So you can put out bowls of beautiful in-season oranges, right? And you can kind of just set out plates or bowls, beautiful little plates or bowls of seasonal fruit and seasonal cheeses, cheeses that go with the meal, regardless of what the meal is. Like, put some cheese out there, put some seasonal fruit out there. And whenever I have families with children over, I always have a bread, like never not have a bread, because what do kids love? Bread. So it's like, even if they don't want to eat the 13 bean soup, okay, with smoked ham hock, they'll eat a piece of bread and they'll eat a piece of fruit. Like, these are things that people leave satisfied with. And then cheese, of course, has this wonderful way of sort of filling in all the holes in your stomach. Like, you just leave yeah. feel so satiated when you have cheese. And so anyway, those have been really wonderful things to remember when I have people over. It's like, they have a way of sort of fleshing out the table. It makes it look beautiful, showy.
Does anyone really know what hormones do? Most women are left so confused about what this means for them. Let's leave behind the confusion as we head into the holiday season. An award-winning German nutrition scientist created a powerful herbal formula called Hormone Harmony. This combines 12 powerful adaptogens into one single capsule. Each one of these ingredients is carefully selected based on scientific evidence and has been proven effective in clinical studies for women of various ages and hormonal profiles. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormone imbalances. The company surveyed 1,800 women to see how Hormone Harmony helped them, and the results are mind-blowing. 86% of women started losing weight, 77% say it improved their mood, and 100% said they're feeling like themselves again. Hormone Harmony has over 50,000 raving reviews from women all over the world, with 98% of them saying that they'd gladly recommend it to their friends and family. You can try Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your first order with code HOMEMAKERCHIC, all one word, at checkout.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
It does. Well, and I, too, like, if I'm going to do a buffet, I love to take all the serving platters out first and set the buffet with nothing in it. So then I'm like, are there holes? Like, oh, this actually looks kind of like, you know, skimpy. I need some more things. And then I say, okay, well, what can I fill in these things that isn't going to take a lot of effort? Like, I think sometimes you back into it or to balance out the prep. So like, okay, if you're making your main course and there's just too much else going on, how can I make dessert so easy? And one of the things I love to do, especially around, like, you know, when you're getting out of winter, just going into spring, when you get blood oranges are in season and the mandarins and you have all of these wonderful citrus, is just to take a big board and cut big wedges of these oranges and then do stacks of like dark chocolate, milk chocolate, maybe little shortbread biscuits. And people love that. It's like a little grazing board that you just bring out at the end of the night. And it's refreshing with the oranges, but also like really decadent with the chocolate. And then you have the little cookies and it is the simplest thing. And people go nuts for that. They love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times people, like, they, you know, they are in the moment and they do overeat, you know, if you serve a good meal.
Right.
And then you've put all this effort into dessert.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I really shouldn't. You know, and you're like, no, please, little love, could you eat the cake, the triple layer coconut that I spent 4 hours on?
Yeah. We had this funny moment. Angela, I know you're having your pastor over for supper tonight. You're entertaining. Yeah. When we were in Italy in March, we had our pastor over for supper. And, you know, he's proper Italian. And so as Americans, we dish up our plates all at one time. And I like eat like a bird. I'm like, a bite of this, a bite of this. I'm bouncing around to all these flavors. That is not how especially Northern Italians eat. It's like, I will eat my cured meats. Then I will eat my cheese. Then I will eat my bread. Then I will eat my vegetable salad. Then I will eat my entree. Then I'll eat more cheese. And then I'll eat more. Yeah. It's like there is one thing on the plate at a time. And it was quite funny because I had made these wonderful fried artichokes with this dipping sauce and this lemon chicken and a pasta, blah, blah. He's eating this cured meat that I got from my favorite butcher. And he was just like, this is amazing. This is incredible. I was like, that's literally the one thing I had nothing to do with.
But you knew how to buy it. I mean, knowing where to go for that, that's part of it. Yeah. That's the talent too.
It was such a good lesson for me because the point was that he would eat and be satisfied, be filled, right? Which that totally accomplished. And it was a good reminder, like, the only reason I would want him to say something I made was the highlight is for pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. And you put a lot of work into it, you know, it's.
But
yeah.
the point when you're entertaining is like, is that people leave full and happy, right?
Right. Of course. Like, whatever they're eating, whatever they're happy with.
Exactly. Make them full and make them happy. And nowadays, there are such really good options for store-bought items, even things like shortbreads or chocolates. You know, these are becoming more accessible to people where people can actually source really high quality products if they look to.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
I want to ask you about pitfalls, Hostess pitfalls, some other ones. But first, I would like to... And Shay, you can help me if you've tried something new. I want to know how your gua sha stone is going.
Yeah, okay. I use the gua sha Tubes & Co., tubesandco.com. Do the gua sha stone. I actually asked an...
What did you feel? Did you feel it?
I did. I totally did. I asked an esthetician friend of mine. I said, I got this stone and I want you to show me how to use it, right? So Tubes & Co. just stocked these gua sha stones. When you get it, it's beautiful. And by the way, you can get 10% off with the code...
HMC10.
So you can get 10% off your gua sha stone. So I put the glow serum on my face from Tubes & Co., which is my favorite product right now. It soaks into your skin so well, but you can use the gua sha stone. I go over my cheekbones and I go over my jawline and then I go up my forehead, kind of always going away. And it's stimulating. It's invigorating. It does tone like pretty instantly. You use it a few times and it's like it pulls your skin away just enough that it then kind of like reattaches firmer. I don't know if that's the technical.
Really, I know, but it's really amazing. You're like, is this really happening? It's incredible. So Tubes & Co. uses all natural ingredients, words that you can actually pronounce. And if you don't believe us, which you should, you should visit their website because there are so many reviews. You can visit tubesandco.com. And here is where you can source everything for everyone in your family, from teenagers whose bodies are changing and you don't want to introduce all those endocrine disruptors to your husband, great shaving products. I live for dry shampoo. I can't survive without dry shampoo. And I like Tubes's because they have one for dark hair, so it doesn't look like I'm wearing a powdered wig, which is very,
very French. Helpful.
Very French, right? I'm not at Versailles. I'm just getting the grease out of my hair, okay? So visit Tubes & Co., like soups, tubesandco.com. Use the code HMC10 and get the stone, because Ange said to.
Mm-hmm. And the glow serum. Get the glow serum.
And the glow serum.
Yeah. Okay, pitfalls. Pitfalls of baby hosts.
Pitfalls and pitfalls. Okay. One of my favorite ones, and this is where my husband and I are constantly at odds, because he's not happy unless every chair at the table is filled. And we, both of our tables, our outdoor table and our indoor table, seat 14 people. But I'm always like, you do not need to fill every seat, because I think the biggest pitfall is inviting too many guests. And if you're at the age where your friends have kids, and I never like to say no kids because my kids are there. So I always say bring the kids. But if you have too many guests and too many kids, it can really get out of control pretty quickly. So I really love to say between 4 and 6, if people have kids, is a great number. Four guests with kids. 6 if it's like 1 or 2 kids per family. And if it's really getting like too many kids, we used to hire the preschool assistant at my daughter's school because she knew all the kids. And we would hire her for the day like a babysitter. And she would take them all out back in the yard and like have fun with the kids. And I think that that was like the best money spent because the guests could really relax, you know, and this is when we had really young kids and you wanted to make sure that these kids were being looked upon, like that we knew where the kids were all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a real pitfall, is just inviting too many guests. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think not relying on a digital meat thermometer. So whether it's a turkey, you know what I mean? Yep. Or the doneness test, like that is not, that is such a relative, that's like a caveman type test. That does not belong like in a modern kitchen. You need a digital meat thermometer so you know when it's exactly like 165 Fahrenheit or 125. That and letting the meat rest is like, they go together. You have to have that. Yeah. Otherwise you're like ending up serving things that are raw and then it's go back in the oven and you've already cut into it. So then all the juices are coming out and then you've got this dry turkey and that's why. So digital meat thermometer. The other thing I think is too many courses. You know, sometimes you think like, oh, Christmas dinner would be so great if we started with a soup or a salad. But that sometimes, unless you have a lot of people helping you in two ovens, that usually does not work out well because it's the timing of the first course that you have to clear the plates and then you got to put the plate somewhere and then you have to make sure that the other thing is ready. It's like thinking about your house like a restaurant is never good. Yeah. it just adds more stress, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest pitfall, and we have all done it, is not emptying the dishwasher before the guests arrive. That dishwasher should be empty. So that when people want
empty dishwasher,
empty dishwasher, empty garbage, it is so simple. But like, if we are running around doing too many things last minute, then we have to fill the dishwasher and then the dishwasher runs. And then when it comes time to load it again, we have to empty the dishwasher with a house full of guests. And that's no fun. So I think really timing it so you know you're starting a party with an empty dishwasher just helps so much on so many levels. Yeah,
I will use. So I'm a huge advocate of the clean, the spotless kitchen before you dive in. So what I will do too is if I'm doing like, I mean, not casseroles, but like things that would go in a casserole pan and they're going to come out and then I'm going to plate them or display them somehow, I do use aluminum because I don't want those pots and pans sitting in my sink. I remove the food, chuck the pan. And then it's like one less thing, you know, because a lot of times at the end of the meal, people will offer to help clean up and then they're going to your sink and it's full of soaking pots and pans, you know, yuck.
That's not good. And those things are big. So like they take a lot of space.
Yeah.
So then you're just taking up all your counter space, which is like prime real estate. Mm-hmm. And I think what people don't realize, like when they are planning how these parties are going to go in their mind, they're thinking about it without the guest factor. They're thinking like, oh, this is going to be great because then I can do the string beans and then I'll be able to, but like people will come in your kitchen. They're bringing bouquets of flowers. They're setting down their purse. Maybe they brought a dish and now that's taking up counter space. Like there is so much chaos that goes on with just welcoming people, taking coats, getting drinks, that like all this other cooking and cleaning, it's got to really be minimized. Otherwise you end up being stuck doing all that stuff and you're not entertaining with the guests and it can make people feel very awkward very quickly. So I like to kind of get that all out of the way. So you knew the guests.
Yeah. It really is. It is mostly prep work, which I think is actually really good news for the hostess because it's work that you can do quietly, listening to a podcast, listening to music in your cozy apron and your sweatpants or whatever. You can be doing this work ahead of time, but it really is just sort of flashing forward and anticipating those things, which it sounds like that's exactly kind of what you've done in the books. Like, let me anticipate what's coming.
Exactly. And I also think another pitfall I would say, and this, I think it shows up a lot with beginners because they want to show that they can do it all, but not saying yes to help. So when people come in the kitchen, what can I do? What do you need? And saying, oh, no, everything's fine. When you're clearly like in the weeds and could use some help, but you don't want to say yes, you know, and, or you're just so overwhelmed, you don't even know how to have someone help you, like saying yes. And so I, you know, used to go into this with like 4 or 5 jobs that I knew would help me if somebody asked. And it could be as simple as, would you mind lighting the candles? You know, would you mind filling up these water carafes? Could you clear away all the appetizer plates and wrap up the cheese and put it in the fridge? Like those are huge things that help a hostess or a host, but also make people feel like they're helping. People actually want to help because it makes them feel like they're contributing. No one wants to just stand around and watch some host like be stressed out running around. Like they don't know how to help. So you have to tell them how to help.
Yeah.
Yeah. Open the line. That's another great one.
It also like builds, it builds community to say, I would love a little help. And then all of a sudden you leave, not as like, it sounds cliche, but you leave not just as a guest, but as kind of like partners. It's different.
It's intimate to be in someone's kitchen in their personal space and help them. And ding, 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 they came to see you.
I know. But even if
all like hot and bothered, oh, just go visit in the living room and you're in there slaving away. You know, they came to see you.
Yeah. It doesn't work. And this is, I think, been one of the fun things about moving to France is like the French women help. Even if you try to shoo them out of the kitchen, they just will not take no for an answer. Like they will find something to do. It might not be something you assign, but they are in that kitchen helping. And I have found that to be really interesting between the two cultures, because I think in the United States, people would say, oh, okay. And they would just leave. But like the French women, they don't leave. I think because so many of them cook and entertain as well. So they can look at a situation kind of like a mom. Like if you run into a room and you see a bunch of kids crying, you know exactly what needs to be broken up, who needs help, because you are instinctually like trained because you have your own kids, you know kind of what needs to happen. And I think it's the same sometimes for hosting. Like people can just jump in and know what needs to be done because they're used to hosting.
Because yeah. They know. Yeah. How did you end up in France, Beth?
Yeah. How did you were from Los Angeles, to France?
Well, no, yes. But actually, I grew up in Connecticut until I was about 18 on the East Coast. Then my whole family moved to L.A. I met my French husband in L.A. And then we got married and stayed in L.A. And he had been there for 30 years and was just getting to the point where he just wanted to go back. And I think that is part of it. Like when you marry a foreigner, and I knew this going in, like at some point, he's going to want to go back. And we would check in every 10 years and he'd be like, no, I'm good here. And then finally he's like, I got to go.
We're out of here.
And
he's like, your turn to be the foreigner. So I'm like, okay, I'll
see you. Yeah. And it's been fun. In what other ways? So you said women are coming, you know, they're more comfortable in the kitchen maybe or in helping. What other ways has that sort of impacted your routine or?
Yeah. Well, I think the French kind of like eat more of certain things, like it's courses. Like, as you were saying, Shay, they do that too. So there'll be, you know, the apéro where everybody will have their like little olives and nuts and, you know, canola and all this kind of stuff that will go on for 2 hours, which when I was, I would only do it for an hour. I would be like tops an hour, but in France, everybody has to be served twice. That's sort of my little rule. Like, okay, did I refill everybody's glass twice or 2 hours, whatever comes quicker. Then I get everybody to the table because that could go on like all night long. And and then also like they like to start with like an entree. You know, there is some sort of, you know, here they call the starter an entree, but it would be like a little, you know, I don't know. It could be a soup. It could be a little cold vegetable thing. It could be like steamed asparagus with a little vinaigrette. It's some kind of small vegetable-y thing. And then there's the main plate with usually one side. So I, in the States, would do like, I don't know, roast beef with like two sides, like a vegetable and a starch. Right. But in France, like they've sort of already covered off on the vegetable. So you don't need to do that. So I feel like that's easier. But then after that, then you have to do the cheese. And depending on the group, like my husband's family is very much cheese and salad. Got to have the salad.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes if it's not his family, I can get away with just the cheese. But if it's his family, got to have a salad. And then the dessert. But what ends up happening is you're changing plates with all of these courses. So the empty dishwasher really helps. And also, I think, not having too many guests. Because six or eight is really the max, because if you're changing plates for all this and cutlery, like you soon run out of plates and cutlery.
Which does factor into entertaining is you kind of just need to have your supplies. And for years when we entertained, we would just go to thrift stores and we would just buy a bunch of plates and none of them matched in a charming way, right? They all had their own little sweet flavor. They're all plates I thought were beautiful in their own way, but nothing matched because it was the only way we could afford to, you know, have 30 plates.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lot, lot more like patina and soul and charm when it's done that way. I don't think you want your guests to show up and have everything look like it came from a mail order catalog. Like that to me feels very cold and not warm and comforting. And I actually think the whole goal, like you've won entertaining if people are comfortable and they leave feeling good. Like, I just think that that goes a long way with making people feel comfortable because it doesn't feel like everything's so new and perfect that they're afraid to break something, you know, like,
So I think like plates, for example, or table, how you sort of set your table would be a very individual reflection of who you are as the hostess. But do you talk at all in the book about how women sort of come to, like, where are the places in entertaining where they can kind of express their creativity or their their uniqueness?
Definitely. Yes. And there's a whole section on the book about building like a wardrobe. Like, how do you create the way you have a personal wardrobe for clothing? You do, if you do it enough, you start to create this wardrobe for entertaining so that every time you have people over, you're not like, oh my gosh, I got to go out and get the serving platter. Oh no, I don't have enough wine glasses. Like, you start to collect it. And that is part of the fun, is to, you know, express your personality and the things you collect. So for me, like, I always like all the plates to look hand thrown. So I love pottery. Like, I love, like, they don't have to be hand thrown. Like, there's a lot of things you can get at Target, frankly, or, you know, even thrift stores that look hand thrown, but they're not. And that I just think adds a lot of texture, a lot of soul to your table. You can create a wardrobe of napkins or tablecloths if you like tablecloths, so that for every event, maybe you've got like four different colors. I like, you know, earth tone for fall, like a robin's egg blue or like a pastel salmon-y color for spring, stripe or check for summer. And then winter, you know, something maybe like a darker color, like a charcoal gray is fun with silver, so that you can get a couple of months out of each look, but you're changing it up with your flower arrangements, which are really inexpensive. So depending on what type of flowers you're putting on the table, maybe in the summer you're doing bud vases and that's really fun. And maybe in the winter you're doing, you know, like pomegranates and evergreens and things that just feel more wintry. It's just a great way to set a scene and make people feel like delighted that they've seen something on the table that makes them feel comfortable and kind of festive for whatever the season is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great way to start. But I do think like glassware at thrift stores is so great because
I have to go to the thrift store and buy.
Kids, like, they eat them, they're just gone. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we can get away with that. But I think I'd like everyone to have a cup this evening.
Yeah. Well, you can just find a lot of really beautiful shapes, I think, in glassware.
Order each, you know, so
right. It's like nothing. So that's the other thing. If someone breaks it, I mean, that's my go-to phrase. Oh my God, at the thrift store, don't worry. Even if it is something like a wedding present, it's just, you know, the damage has been done. Like, you just, I need to make people feel comfortable and not feel bad about something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that actually brings up an important point of hosting, which I think we've talked about before on the podcast, which is like, if you have life in your home, people in your home, you invite people in, things are going to get broken and some things are going to be ruined. That's it. No. You just need to accept that is sort of part of it. Now, I have hosted before, and this has gotten way out of hand, where it's like, I kid you not, I went into I don't know what happened. You talked about hiring a sitter, which I think is a great job. I hosted a baby shower. There was like 60 people here. And somebody got into my underwear drawer at some point, and I was literally finding pairs of my I kid you guys not, hidden around my house for like a week afterwards. I don't know what happened. I don't have security cameras in my house, but if I did, that would have been the moment I was like looking for, like, who did what?
That is hilarious. Yeah. I mean, again, it's like the guest factor. Yeah. Yeah. I'm super with children and a party. Do not mix.
Yeah, it was. Or you just need to have somebody in charge. Or, you know, we've also learned, we have a lot of repeat guests, which you talked about at the beginning, right? These are people that we're comfortable with.
Yeah.
Everyone knows kind of the rules, right, of a home. But if you're inviting people into your home that are new, you know, you do have to kind of set those sort of rules of just like, you know, hey, just so you know, we have a dog. He's downstairs in our room. So if you want to instruct your kids not to go down the stairs at all, there's nothing for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you do kind of have to set the stage so that you can have a good time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I also find, and this is just like a little pet peeve of mine, but it does work very well. If you don't want people to put their glasses on your wood tabletops, like that can be awkward because when I grew up, my parents were always like, never put any, like, we were like scared into ever putting a glass on. But a lot of people don't grow up like that. Like they don't realize that. So I just will always serve the glass with the coaster. It's a 1-2 punch. Like, here's your glass, and then I put it down so they get the picture. Yeah. And then that sort of avoids any awkward, like, oh, here, would you mind putting the coaster under your... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good idea, Beth. I like that idea. And I actually love, I don't have coasters because none of our furniture is valuable enough to, like, put coasters underneath. But... I have seen those really beautiful coasters that they're like really dense cardboard and they're beautiful. Yeah. You could choose them to a theme, like really beautiful paper napkins. They make wonderful ones now that you could just fold in and then you're not like washing and ironing cloth napkins. Like this is one of those, I get to express myself a little bit in this moment.
No, for sure. 100%. And even, you know, a vintage, like flea market fine wood table is still going to leave a ring if somebody puts a, you know, cold glass that's like sweating down. So it doesn't even have to be like priceless furniture, but like anything that has wood on it, unfortunately, if people leave a glass there long enough. Although my mom would usually take, I don't know if you guys know this one, with the mayonnaise, and she would put mayonnaise on the ring of the wood, and apparently that would help.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I haven't tried that, but somebody might want to try that. Right.
Yes. Okay, Beth, well, tell people where they can connect with you. Where are you at?
Sure.
Tell them where they can get the book.
Yes, definitely. So the book is available at all booksellers online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all your go-to spots. And my blog is entertainingwithbeth.com. And you can also find me on YouTube with the same name, Entertaining with Beth.
Very I love cool. that. Thank and the book so is much. Out now. Right?
It's at June 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. Depending on when this airs, but they can pre-order too. If it's
okay.
It is called Entertaining 101 Recipes Every Host Should Know How to Make. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah.
You can go relax now. It's the end of the day there. So
yes. Go have a glass of wine. You've earned it.
Thank you both.
I love it. Thanks for being here, Beth.
Thank you, Beth.
Take care.
Ladies, we'll be back here with you next Monday. Cheers.
Cheers.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.